The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Good Housekeeping Magazine, presents the transcribed College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, Washington and Lee University is out to challenge the varsity scholars from the University of Minnesota, the school that returns to the College Quiz Bowl for the sixth straight week. And now, here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another intercollegiate battle of the brains. Now, let's meet the teams. First, we're going way out to Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Bob Boyle of station KSTP, Minneapolis-St. Paul, is on hand to serve again as referee for the Minnesota team. How are things in Minnesota, Bob?
Well, it's cold up here tonight, Alan, but I'm sure the team is hot. They'll be hard to beat in their quest for a fifth Quiz Bowl victory. Here they are to say hello.
Colleen Helgeson-Nelson, Brooklyn Center, Minnesota.
Eleanor Vail, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Joe Sheffman, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Chuck Mulkey, Hopkins, Minnesota.
And there you have the varsity scholars from the University of Minnesota. Now we're going to travel a far piece. We're going way south to Lexington, Virginia. And we're going to meet the members of the Frank and Fearless team from Washington and Lee University. Ted Court of station WSLS in Roanoke is standing by to referee. So, Ted, would you step up and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Alan. Well, after winning five straight last year, a brand new team has been organized to make this year's stay even longer. And here they are to introduce themselves.
Jack Lackman from Lexington, Virginia.
Ed Hood, Birmingham, Alabama.
Maxwell Caskey, Arlington, Virginia.
Clay Carr, Winchester, Virginia.
And there you have met both of the teams. Now, before Roger Tuttle explains our rules, may I point out that we recognize the fact that here in the College Quiz Bowl, we're putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. But we're also trying to give you, our audience, an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities that are found today on every American campus. Now, how about those rules, Roger?
Right, Alan, and here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points. And the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Washington and Lee University signals, you'll hear... And when the University of Minnesota signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if a team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. Now, the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Roger. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points and will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules. There's the opening whistle, so let's go. Your first bonus question tonight is worth 30 points, and your first toss-up question is a relationship question. For 10 points, tell us. Ajax was to Telamon as Tiny Tim was to whom? Minnesota.
Joe Sheckman.
Bob Cratchit.
That's right, Bob Cratchit. In what piece of writing?
In Dickens' Christmas Carol.
That's right. Ajax was to Telamon as Tiny Tim was to his father, Bob Cratchit. Okay, here you got a 30-point bonus, Minnesota. A 30-point bonus. Here's a bonus question on the names of fictional and literary ladies. You ready? Okay. I expect to hear very heavily from Chuck Mulkey and Joseph Sheckman.
Right.
Okay. What was the name of the girl that took a ride in a one-horse open sleigh? One-horse open sleigh.
Jenny Bright, wasn't it?
What?
Soon Miss Jenny Bright was seated by my side. Fanny Bright.
What was that?
Fanny Bright.
I'll accept Fanny Bright. That's right. What? One of the verses in Jingle Bells, and 10 points for changing Jenny to Fanny, all right? For 10 points, what rustic girl gave the judge a cup of water according to John Greenleaf Whittier?
Maud Muller.
Maud Muller and the poem by the same name. 10 points. For 10 more points, what girl did young Werther sorrow over according to Goethe?
Charlotte.
That's right, Charlotte and the Sorrows of Werther. Mm-hmm. All right, you got the whole team.
Right now, Alan, 22 and a half minutes to go. Minnesota has 40 points. Washington and Lee, we've yet to hear from.
All right, I'm going to test the buzzers one more time to make sure of my lights here. May I see your light, Washington and Lee? Fine. May I see your light, Minnesota? Fine, thank you. Here we go with a toss-up question, and coming up is a 30-point bonus. To what two dates was the late President Franklin Roosevelt referring when he said, quote, "The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed." Washington and Lee.
Ed Hood.
The opening of the Second World War, that would be the bombing of Pearl Harbor.
I will have to move to Minnesota, and I will repeat the question, and you will note that you were not answering the precise question I was asking. To what two dates? This is being repeated for Minnesota and penalizing Washington Lee minus 5 points. To what two dates was the late President Roosevelt referring when he said, "The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. The people of the United States have already formed their opinions and well understand the implication to the very life and safety of our nation." Minnesota, what two dates? Quickly. No takers?
No takers.
December 7th and 8th, 1941. December 7th, the Japanese attacked the Philippine Islands, the Hawaiian Islands, Malaya, and Hong Kong, and Wake Island. In the morning of December 8th, they attacked Midway Island. All right? Coming up yet is a 30-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. The northern lights are the aurora borealis. But Washington and Lee.
Max, go ahead.
What are the southern lights called? They are the aurora australis.
That's right, for 10 points. Boy, you interrupted my question before I finished asking it. I was going to say, for 10 points, what are the southern lights? And you said the aurora australis, and that's right for 10 points. Here's your 30-point bonus, Washington and Lee. Joseph McCarthy is the fourth member of the Senate ever to draw a Senate disciplinary vote of censure or condemnation. For 10 points apiece, can you name the other three senators so censured or condemned?
Alan, Clay Carr with that answer.
Clay?
McLaurin and Tillman are the first two in 1902, and in 1929 it was Bingham.
That's right for the 430 points. Okay, now before we move along to another toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this game. Roger Tuttle.
Well, each week, Good Housekeeping Magazine will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And to each member of the losing team, they'll receive an attractive, dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes, Alan. 19 and a half minutes to go. The score, Minnesota has 40 points. Washington and Lee has 35 points. Back to another toss-up question.
And coming up is a 30-point bonus. Here's your toss-up. It has been said that the main literary production in England this year has been the appearance, after an interval of 15 years, of the last four volumes, Washington and Lee.
Ed Hood.
Of Arnold Toynbee's The Study of History.
Right, for 10 points. You interrupted the question that was to complete. Of the last four volumes of a work by an English professor, what is that work? Toynbee's The Study of History, and Washington and Lee, you got a 30-point bonus question here. It's a question on trees of fact and fiction. Trees, T-R-E-E-S. 10 points for each correct answer. 10 points. What kind of a tree did the slayer of the Jabberwock rest by?
Ed Hood again.
Oh, and rested he by a tum-tum tree.
And right for 10 points, you. Okay. All right, what well-guarded object hung from the trunk of a giant beech tree?
The golden fleece.
Right for 10 points.
Max Caskey.
Max, that's a good one. Okay. What kind of a tree do oil men call the system of pipes, valves, and fittings at the top of an oil well? Washington and Lee.
Literary.
What kind of a tree? A Christmas tree. Oh, what a shame. All right, score in time, Roger.
Right now, Alan, 18 minutes to go. Minnesota has 40 points. Washington Lee leading at the present time with 65.
And a 30-point musical bonus is coming up. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, tell me, what color takes its name from the name of a famous Venetian artist? Minnesota.
Eleanor Vale.
I'm sorry, I can't answer.
Washington and Lee. Titian, a color and red, yellow, and hue used by Titian and so named after him. Here's another toss-up. Ben Rogers paid an apple for the honor. Billy Fisher gave a perfectly good kite to have a chance at it. And Johnny, Minnesota.
Eleanor Vale.
Tom Sawyer's fence, I believe they wanted to paint it or whitewash it.
All right, I'll accept it. I'll finish the question. And Johnny Miller forked over a dead rat at the end of a string so he could do it for 10 points. What did Ben, Billy, and Johnny get to do? Whitewash your fences, right from Tom Sawyer. In Minnesota, you got a 30-point musical bonus here. The following all-time favorites claim their popularity from a Hawaiian Hawaiian origin. All you got to do to make 30 points now is correctly name each of the following three songs. First.
Aloha Oi.
No, Heavenly Flower.
There's a Hawaiian phrase before that. Sweet Leilani.
Sweet Leilani. I heard it. Sweet Leilani. Oh, boy. Mr. McGregor had his arm in the air. All right. Sweet Leilani. 20 seconds on the music questions. All right.
Oh, the Hawaiian war chant.
Right. For 10 points. All right. Now, what's this one?
That's
Aloha Oi.
Aloha Oi. That's it for 10 points. That's a 30 points you added up there pretty fast and pretty simply. I'd say, Roger, time is to score.
Right now, 16 minutes to go. Minnesota has 80 points. Washington Lee has 65.
And a 40-point bonus is in the offing. Here's your toss-up for 10 points. Who gave a man named Rowan a message to deliver to Garcia? Minnesota.
Chuck Mulkey.
Quick. Can you take it, Washington and Lee? No takers? President McKinley. McKinley gave Rowan a letter to be delivered to Garcia. Rowan took the letter and did not ask, where is he at? Okay. Here we go. 40-point bonus is still in the offing. A man weighing 150 pounds stands on a floor with his foot in a loop of rope, which goes up and through an overhead pulley and is long enough for him to grasp the other end. Disregarding the element of friction involved, and for 10 points, tell us, how much in pounds will he have to pull down on the rope to lift himself off the floor? Washington and Lee.
Jack Lackman.
He will have to pull with 150 pounds.
Can you take it, Minnesota? No
believe...
takers? All right.
No,
no takers.
75 pounds.
75 pounds. Did I hear it?
No. Yes, you did.
The time had been called. What?
Chuck Mulkey said 75
out.
Pounds.
I'm sorry, it was out. The pause was too great. On a toss-up question, the answer must come in fast. And we had called the time on it. I'm sorry. The time, the 75 pounds is the correct answer, however. Here we go. Still in the offing is a 40-point bonus. This is a tough one, isn't it? It's a fight for it. Here we go. In the Battle of the Nile, a boy named Casabianca, son of the Admiral of the Orient, distinguished himself in devotion to duty. Minnesota.
Joe Scheckman.
He stood on the burning deck whence all but he had fled.
That's right. For 10 points, quote the first line of the poet's familiar poem, which records his phrases. The boy stood on a burning deck. That's right, for 10 points, and you got a 40-point bonus, Minnesota, by sweating that one out. Here we go. 10 points. Each time you're able to tell us what sport or game would a person be talking about if he said. Now listen to this. These are 10 points apiece. And I'll have to work fast, and I want one answer. Is that clear?
Can't we even discuss it?
You can discuss, but come quickly with the answer. This is a very tough one. I mean, it's one of those touchy ones, you see. Now, what sport or game would a person be talking about if he said, first of all, quote, he replied in tierce.
In
tierce? T-I-E-R-C-E. Time is called fencing. All right. What sport or game? Her jesses got tangled.
Oh, that's falconry.
Falconry, right, for 10 points. All right, score below the line.
Would it be bridge or...
Bridge, I heard bridge and it's all right. Okay, bridge is right.
Phew.
On a bonus question, you know, I take a right answer when I hear it, as contrasted to a toss-up question. All right, quote, he blanketed me. Time is called sailing. Sailing. And score and time, Roger.
Right now, 13 minutes to go, Alan. Minnesota has 110 points. Washington and Lee has 65.
Okay, here we go with another toss-up question coming as a 25-point bonus. A prominent hat designer and a West German official who defected to the communists have the same last name. For Minnesota.
Chuck Mulkey.
That's Mr. John and Otto John.
John, what is that name? John is
J-O-H-N.
The answer.
J-O-H-N.
All right.
Right.
For 10 points, what is that name I was to ask? And John, you said. All right. Minnesota, here's a 25-point bonus. It's a question for amateur rhymesters. I'm going to describe five men, and I want you to tell me what their last names, now understand that last names rhyme with. For 5 points apiece, give me the full names of the men. I'm going to describe the rhyme of their last name, however. You ready? One, An American labor leader whose name rhymes with a type of child's clothing.
Samuel Gompers.
Right, for 5 points. Rhyming, of course, with?
With Rompers.
That's right. An American pioneer whose name rhymes with a small mammal having a bushy tail.
Crockett. No. Daniel Boone rhymes with Coon.
Boone rhymes with Coon is right for 5 points. The founder of the Quakers whose name rhymes with something people sometimes wear to bed in the winter.
What? Fox.
Fox. What does it rhyme
with?
Socks.
Socks.
Socks. Yeah.
What's his first name? What's the full name?
Charles.
What?
Charles?
What?
Charles or George?
George Fox.
George Fox. Right for 5 points. Okay. The first name, I want the first names of these people. An early Roman whose name rhymes with an implement for extracting.
Caesar.
Caesar.
First name.
Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar, right. A German poet whose name rhymes with a blackbird that talks.
Magpie or raven?
Craven?
No.
Heinrich Heine, whose name rhymes with
Mina.
Okay. Oh, good. All right, Alan, you'll have to hold it because that's the halftime whistle, which calls for a 1 minute timeout.
Okay, thank you, Roger. Now, we're going to talk to the teams in just a moment. But first, may I remind you that each month, Good Housekeeping Magazine runs a page of college quiz bowl questions. For a chance to match your wits with our collegiate champions, see the current issue of Good Housekeeping Magazine. Good Housekeeping also awards the $500 cash prize each week that goes to the college of the winning team here in our Radio College Quiz Bowl. Okay? Now let's meet the teams. First of all, I want to meet the challenging team tonight. Four young men from Washington and Lee who are doing so well. I am amazed and delighted to see that Maxwell Caskey is a freshman. Is that right, sir?
That's right.
And how old are you, Maxwell?
18.
What will your major be when you major?
English, I hope.
And your plans upon graduation?
To write.
Interesting and fine. Ed Hood, you are a junior, right?
Yes, that's right, Alan.
What are your plans?
I'm majoring in English, and I plan to go to graduate school.
Where?
I hope at Harvard.
All right, you're probably headed right that way. Jack Lackman, you're the brother of Fred Lackman, who did so well on the Washington team last year, right?
That's right, Alan.
And a freshman you are, sir.
Yes, sir.
How old are you, boy?
I'm 17, Alan.
What are you going to major in at Washington and Lee?
Well, I plan to major in chemistry.
Good. And your plans after college?
Graduate school, maybe MIT, I don't know.
Good. And Clay Carr, how old are you?
I'm 20, Alan.
Oh, you're the old man of the team, huh? What are you, you're a junior, right?
Yes, I am.
And your plans upon graduation?
Well, I hope to go to graduate school, preferably in the English Isles.
In the English Isles? Very interesting. Okay, we've got the four young men from Washington Lee. Now let's go way up north and west. We're going out to Minneapolis to meet to talk to the University of Minnesota team tonight. Ellen DeVale, what's new at University of Minnesota tonight?
Well, the big thing that's coming up now, Alan, is A Mall in the Night Visitors, the Christmas opera by Giancarlo Menotti that was first presented on NBC.
That's right.
We're going to have soloists from New York together with the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra with Dorati directing, and it's going to be really big.
You're doing that big, beautiful symphony hall you have out there,
right? That's right, in Northrop Auditorium, our pride and joy.
It should be a very exciting production. I want to congratulate you all. It's a wonderful theater you have out there. Now, the time period is up, so let's get back to the quiz. Roger?
Right now, Alan, we have 8.5 minutes to go. Minnesota has 140, Washington and Lee has 65. So back to another toss-up question.
Coming up is a 25-point bonus. Here is the toss-up. For 10 points, tell us, in what opera does the hero make his initial appearance in a boat drawn by a swan? Minnesota.
Eleanor Vale.
Lohengrin.
Lohengrin by Wagner, right, Minnesota. Here's your 25-point bonus. According to the story of creation, man is to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the beast of the earth. For 25 points, name the only specific type of beast of the earth that Genesis 1 refers to.
Everything that creepeth and crawleth on the earth.
Time is called cattle in Genesis 1, 26. Okay, the only specific type of beast of the earth that is referred to there. All right, coming up is a 30-point bonus. A 30-point bonus. Eleanor, I bet your mother's going to be mad at you. You missed a Bible question. Here's a 30-point bonus, and here's a toss-up. For 10 points, what are the Khamsin of Egypt, the Datu of the Straits of Gibraltar, the Matsukaze of Japan, the Willawa of Alaska, and the Chinook of the American Plains? Minnesota.
Eleanor Vale again.
They're all wins.
They're all wins. Right for 10 points. Even when I mispronounced them, they're right. Okay, Minnesota, you got a 30-point bonus, and here it is. I've managed to mangle three sentences by interspersing English phrases with common Latin expressions. 10 points every time you can give us the correct English translation for the following sentences. Quote, inter alia, I'd like to tell you, sub rosa, that tempest fugit.
Joe Scheckman wants to try
it. Among other things, I'd like to tell you, under the rose or secretly, that time is flying.
That is right. That is to the letter what I have on the card. All right, for 10 points. Pax vobiscum, because in flagrante delicto, you acted extempore.
Peace be with you, because
in the crime
caught
itself,
in the act, you acted on your own hook or extemporously.
Extemporaneously.
All right, without premeditation, all right, for 10 points. Okay. Ex post facto, you might feel that the goods should be taxed ad valorem instead of per capita.
After the law.
After the fact.
After the fact, you might feel that
the goods should be taxed according to their value instead of, what was the last phrase?
Per capita.
Instead of
per head.
By the head, all right. In retrospect, would have been better ex post facto, but it's all right. You got the whole thing scoring time, Roger.
5.5 minutes to go. Minnesota has 190. Washington and Lee has 65.
And a 30-point bonus is in the offing. Here is a toss-up. For 10 points, complete this relationship question. The Parthenon was to Phidias what the pyramid of Gizeh was to whom? Minnesota.
Colleen Nelson.
Khufu.
Can you take it?
Ed Hood.
I believe it was Cheops, wasn't it?
All right, the Cheops, the Cheops. You got it right. Right, Washington Lee, and here's your 30-point bonus. It's a mathematical bonus. Oh, incidentally, I better explain that relationship. Phidias built the Parthenon, and Cheops built the biggest of the pyramids in Giza. All right, here's your mathematical bonus, Washington Lee. Get your pencil and paper. Take the year that marked the first time the American people ever elected a president during wartime. The first time American people ever elected a president during wartime. Multiply by the number of Woodrow Wilson's famous points and subtract the age of the young man who heard the wise man say, give crowns and pounds and guineas, but not your heart away. For 30 points, what is your numerical answer?
They're working on it now.
Okay. It took me a long time.
These boys are right together, too.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Gregor is working on it, too. He's got it. You better hurry up. The time is going to be called.
Here we are.
Hurry, hurry. Number.
Jack. 25389.
25390.
Nope. 26,075. 26,075. The year during the Civil War that Lincoln was elected to the second term, 1864. Multiplied by 14, Wilson's 14 points equals 26,096 minus 21 when I was 1 and 20 equals 26,075. Okay? Here we go with a musical bonus comment coming up next. Here's your toss-up. At what time is it expedient for a young man to say yes'm to the ladies and yes-er to the men, according to Minnesota?
Eleanor Vale wants
just
to try
before
that.
Christmas.
Just before Christmas. I was to have said, according to the title and lines of a poem by Eugene Fields, just before Christmas. Say yes to the ladies and yes to the men. And here is your musical bonus, Minnesota. A new movie, Deep in My Heart, is based on the life of the late composer Sigmund Romberg. Now, the following three selections are all taken from three different Romberg musicals or operettas. And all you got to do to earn 10 points each time, or a total of 30 points, is name the shows. Now, get this. You are to name the show from which this selection is taken. All right?
One Alone from the Desert Song.
Right, the Desert Song for 10 points. All right, what is the name of the show from which this melody comes?
One
Sweetheart.
Alone.
No, that's Sweetheart's. That sounds like Victor Herbert. That's sweet. No, Will You Remember from Blossom Time?
No, Maytime. You were so near. Will You Remember from Maytime? You know, that sounds like Victor Herbert to me, too, but it isn't. It's Romberg. All right, Softly. Oh. What's this one?
Is that from the new movie?
That's from the new moon, I think. Softly as a morning sunrise or something like that.
Yeah, you would have known that anyway, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh.
All right, but the new moon is what I was looking for. That's right. Score in time, Roger.
Right now, Alan, 2 minutes to go. Washington and Lee has 75. Minnesota has 220.
All right, a 30-point bonus is in the offing. Oh, it's a reciting poet. It's a reciting thing, this bonus that's coming up. Here's your toss-up. In 1836, a man named William Barrett Travis commanded 184 men, all of whom were killed. For 10 points, what? Minnesota.
Colleen Nelson.
That was the Battle of the Alamo.
Defending the Alamo, right. For 10 points, what were they doing when they were killed? Defending the Alamo, right, for 10 points. Okay, Minnesota, you get a chance to recite. 15 points if you can complete the first four lines. Now, this is word for word, let me caution you. The first four lines of Tennyson's poem From the Princess, which commences with the phrase sweet and low, and you will get 30 points if you can complete the entire eight lines of the first verse.
Sweet and low, sweet and low, wind of the western sea. Blow, blow, breathe and blow, wind of the western sea.
Would you repeat the third line again, please?
Low, low,
blow, blow.
What was that?
Low, low,
that's right.
Breathe and blow, wind of the western seas.
Okay, that's 15
Over
points.
The bounding billows blow, come from the dying moon and glow. While my little, to me, while my little one, while my pretty one sleeps.
While my pretty one sleeps.
The second line of the second four is, that he reads, over the rolling waters go, come from the dying moon and blow. And if it was there, you missed it, so we'll not give you that second 15, but we will give you the first 15. All right? Pretty good, I'd say. Score and time, Rod.
Right now, 15 seconds to go. Minnesota has 245, and we're into the bell, Alan.
Oh.
We have our 15-second timer, but the time is up as recorded at 27:20 into the show, and that's it. Alan, the game is over. The final score for the College Quiz Bowl tonight is Minnesota, 245 points, the winner, and Washington Lee has 75 points.
Okay, wow.
To each member of the Washington and Lee team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches, since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, the University of Minnesota will receive a $500 gift from Good Housekeeping magazine to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Minnesota will return next week to compete in the new All-American Quiz Game with the varsity scholars of Wesleyan University at Middletown, Connecticut. In the meantime, to try your hand at more of these questions, read the Quiz Bowl page in the current issue of Good Housekeeping magazine. It's on the newsstands now. Here once again, your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
I want to congratulate the University of Minnesota on another win, and I want to say to the fine young men from Washington and Lee, Maxwell Caskey, Ed Hood, Jack Lackman, Clay Carr, you did a great job. Now, next week, Minnesota meets Wesleyan University in Middletown, Connecticut. And the following weeks, we're going to have varsity scholars from the University of Colorado, Tulane, Sophie Newcomb, Brown Pembroke, Illinois, and many other outstanding colleges and universities throughout the United States. So, won't you be with us next week and every week here in the College Quiz Bowl for an exciting quiz game. This is Alan Ludden saying now, good night, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Washington and Lee University, Ted Court, and for the University of Minnesota, Bob Boyle of Station KSTP, Minneapolis, St. Paul. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network presentation, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, written by Nancy Forbes and directed by Ken McGregor. This is Roger Tuttle speaking.
Guido Cantelli and the Boston Symphony present Verdi's Requiem tonight on the NBC Radio Network.